Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. All right, I am going to name today's show. I'm going to name this segment and call it a Wild Card Wednesday. All right, Rob, you probably didn't know this. I looked this up today. I didn't even need your help to do it. Well, since they have expanded the NFL postseason to now three wild card teams in each conference, there have been 24 of these wild card teams, three in the AFC, three in the NFC. There have been 24 of these teams. Did you know that only 11 of them have made the playoffs the next year? So a little less than half of the wild card teams repeat the next season. And not just as wild card teams, any team. For example, Philadelphia was a wild card team 2 years ago. They obviously made the playoffs last year and won the Super Bowl and also won their division. So they're a team that is in this 11 that made the playoffs the next season. 11 out of 24 made the playoffs the next year. So if you were looking at these six wild card teams from last season, the Chargers, Steelers, Broncos, Vikings, Commanders, and Panthers, history says four of these teams are likely to miss the postseason, and you'll get some new blood, some new teams in the mix. Rob, let's start in the AFC. If I'm going to allow you to keep one of these two teams or one of these three teams, so we'll do a hold on them and then we'll discuss the other two. Who are you going to use as your team that you're going to hold? Your team that you think is going to make the postseason. I'll give you the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Broncos, and then we'll discuss who's going to replace the other two teams. Which team are you keeping in the postseason for this upcoming year?
I'm going to place a hold on the Broncos. I think the Broncos are the safest pick there. I think the Steelers are going to really implode. I don't trust Aaron Rodgers. They feel like they're all in. They feel like, I think we had Pony on the show, and he said this feels like it could be an 8-9, sub-500, 7-10 season. So if Pittsburgh is saying that, I'm going to say that about Pittsburgh. I'm selling Charger stock. I frankly don't understand where Charger hype is coming from, if I'm being honest. The Broncos, they feel like they were a good 9-8 team last year. They have a young quarterback. They have a good coach. I think their defense, which was good last year, got better this year. I'm not saying they're some 14-3 threat to the Chiefs, but I'm going to place my hold on the Broncos from those three teams.
I actually would place my hold on the Chargers, and I know what you guys are going to say, but this is why. Coach, quarterback. I think they're good enough at those two things to get them to 9 or possibly 10 wins to be one of those wild card teams. Like, if we are looking at all of the teams that we would deem to be in the mix for the wild card, I assume you're picking Kansas City to win their division. So the Chargers are in that wild card mix. I think they have the best combination of coach and quarterback. So I'll put my hold on them. So if we're now discussing the other two teams, so we're discussing somebody's got to replace Pittsburgh, somebody's got to replace the Broncos or Chargers. This is where I would go first. I'm going to go Cincinnati to make the playoffs this upcoming year. I mean, they almost made it last year. They won 9 games. You're asking the Bengals, can they be one game better this season than they were last year? They get to 10, they probably make the postseason. I also think that Cincinnati is likely going to get off to a better start this year than they've done the last couple of years. They played Cleveland and Jacksonville the first 2 weeks of the season. You remember, this team usually starts 0-2. They start 0-3. They get off to very, very slow starts. This has actually been the healthiest that Joe Burrow has been in the offseason, and I think that's pretty noticeable for the Bengals early on in the season. So if you're asking me to swap out a playoff wildcard team in the AFC, I'll swap out Pittsburgh. I'll take another team in their division. I'll take Cincinnati to be a playoff team from the AFC. I've told you this from the beginning. I think you always kind of got to go off the board. You got to do something weird. I really like the Raiders this year. I do. I really like the Raiders. I don't think there is a team this offseason that has improved more at coach and quarterback than they have. You go get Pete Carroll, a guy who won a championship in the NFL, a guy who won a championship at USC, certainly knows how to turn things around, and you go get one of the more stable quarterbacks. Every year you see a team kind of take that big jump and kind of take advantage of the schedule. I think it's kind of between New England and Vegas. I think one of those two teams this year, if you're asking me, hey, bet on, I think one of those two teams makes the postseason this year. I'll pick the Raiders just because I think they have the better coach quarterback combination. So those are my two picks. I'm going to swap out two teams. I think the wild card teams, as we're really early in this, I'm going to take the Chargers and the Raiders. So two teams again from the AFC West. And I'm going to take the Bengals making it this year over the Steelers.
So first off, as you were gearing up for off the board, I will get to my off the board pick. I agree with you though, as a 10,000 foot view. We are not at prediction season yet. We're not full fledged. Hey, we got this person. We're not there yet. But I feel like every year what bothers me is you see these NFL prognosticators and they're like, yep, it's going to be all these teams are good again. All these teams are bad, bad again.
That's not how football works.
You have to pick one that's off the board. You have to pick one that's a last to first. Someone is making that jump. It's hard to pick it, but someone's making that jump. So I'm happy you went off the board with the Raiders. I disagree with it, but I'm happy you went that way. Me and you are on the same page about the Bengals. I think it's the Patriots. I think the Patriots are that team. The team you're describing that makes that jump, it's the New England Patriots. No one talked about it, and no one outside of the New England area noticed it. Drake May actually wasn't that bad last season. Now, listen, he was not the best rookie quarterback, and it was a good class, but Drake May showed a little something last season.
They also didn't give him no weapons and nobody to throw the football to last year.
And they improved at head coach. I think that Gerard Mayo got a little bit of a raw deal, but Mike Vrabel is a wild improvement.
Mike Vrabel gives you a very solid floor.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If Drake May is going to give you the ceiling, Mike Vrabel is going to give you the floor. And I am not high on that division at all. The Jets are gearing up to be bad. They're trying to be bad. They are, you know, full heart eyes at Arch Manning. So they're trying to be bad. The Bills are good. The Dolphins feel like they're about a year away from firing everyone, and it's just a free fall year. I think that off the board team is the New England Patriots. Now, Stephon Diggs can stop partying on Cardi B's boat with substances we don't know what they are. I think they have weapons again. You think the defense is going to be good? Mike Vrabel's going to instill a culture. Drake May's not that bad. Like, you're right. Go off the beaten path. I'm going to take the New England Patriots to be one of the teams that fills the void.
So let's play this same game for the teams in the NFC. If you missed it, since the playoffs have expanded in the NFL, out of the 24 wildcard teams, so AFC and NFC, 11 of them have made the playoffs the next season. So, I mean, 13 have missed. So there's going to be turnover at the wild card spot. The same way there's turnover, obviously, for who wins the division, there's going to be turnover for who those wild card teams are. I asked you to hold a team in the AFC. Let's play that same game in the NFC. These were the wild card teams: Minnesota, Washington, and Green Bay. If I allow you the opportunity to hold one of these teams in the NFC, and we'll debate the other two and who takes their spot, who are you holding? I'll go ahead and get you out of here. I'm holding Green Bay.
Really?
I'm holding Green Bay.
Oh, we're going to be different here.
I'm holding Green Bay for this reason. They just have the same conversation we're having about Vrabel and the Patriots and the floor. With Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, there's just a floor there. There's no chance the Packers are bad this season. There's no way we look up and they're a 5-12 team. So we're talking about a program that at least has a minimum of an 8-win floor to me, and they probably have a ceiling of 12 games. Give me another 10-win season for the Green Bay Packers. They end up being the 6th or the 7th seed, possibly in it for the division. I'll take Green Bay as my hold.
Okay, so my hold, you mentioned stay in the playoffs. That's the hold, and I'll put this keg on it. I'm going to hold the Minnesota Vikings as the NFC North champions. That's what I am doing with my hold. I think the Vikings are the team in the NFC North.
They got the worst quarterback in the division. You're taking the team with the worst quarterback to win the division?
We don't know he's the worst quarterback. That's first and foremost.
I know he's not better than Jared Goff. I'm pretty sure he's not better than Jordan Love. You would take J.J. McCarthy over Caleb Williams?
He is the epitome of sight unseen. We do not know. But I think they have the best offensive mind in that division. Now that Ben Johnson's out of the division.
He's in the division. He plays with the Bears.
I mean, you're right. Out of Detroit. Excuse me. I have a better way to say that. Now that he's out of Detroit, I still think Kevin McConnell is a better coach as a head coach. We've never seen Ben Johnson as a head coach. So I'm placing my hold on the Vikings as the NFC North champions.
Wow, you're taking the Vikings to win the division. But they're
the
actually
By the way, the Vikings were a game away last season from being the 2 seed.
Like yeah, that, you're 100% right. The Vikings, to me, if you're telling me a team that I'm very confident is going to take a step back, it's also them. That Vikings team last year won 14 games. They got 9 wins written all over them this season and missing the playoffs and taking a step back. Yes, Minnesota missing the play. That's an obvious one to me. But no, if you're holding Minnesota,
I'm betting on big regression from Detroit. I think Detroit feels very regression-y.
Yeah, the thing about that is they won 15 games last year. So like, even if they win 4 fewer games this year, they win 11 games and that makes the playoff. Like, they're kind of hard to say regression with because they feel a lot like Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Kansas City won 15 games. If they regress and win 3 fewer games, oh, they were worse. But wait, you won 12 games this year. So that's kind of where I feel like Detroit is. I'm with you. They will likely regress. If we're saying that for them, that Minnesota just screams regression year to be. Everything kind of went right last year. Sam Darnold kind of came out of nowhere, had a big-time season. All right, so you have to replace Washington and Green Bay for this exercise. Who are you replacing Washington and Green Bay with in the NFC? Because there aren't as many options in the NFC as there are in the AFC.
Well, first off, you can just – I mean, here are my two. And I didn't – one feels like kind of like a layup, like it's I'm cheating a little bit because I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons, who were another team that was
– you're going to take them to just win the division.
They're going to win the division. So, yeah.
No, that counts. You can do that.
Yeah, so then that's going to be my change. I'm selling Bucs stock. Again, team, new coach, Baker, did the whole deal.
Do you got Tampa Bay winning the you got Tampa Bay making a wild card team? You got them outright missing the postseason.
Tampa Bay's an out. Okay. So I got Atlanta now as a new – and then I got Arizona as a new in.
Oh, my goodness. You're doing that with Arizona? You know what Arizona is? The West Coast New Orleans Saints.
No, they're not.
I did this for three years. I mean, look at the Saints. Look at the division. They're going to get back in. And you know Arizona's not going anywhere this year.
Arizona's the wild card.
Stop it.
Now, they get drubbed in the game at 9-8, but they will make the wild card.
No chance.
Tell me about the Bears. I'm excited to hear all about the Bears.
You know I'm taking the Bears. It's an obvious to me. Yes, the Bears that won 5 games last year, they're winning 10 games this year and making the postseason. They have upgraded significantly everywhere on offense that matters. They have a better head coach. Their quarterback should be better this year. Their quarterback, who actually played really well last season, he was just as good as C.J. Stroud was in year one. People just don't like him because he shops at Sephora, so they just don't like him. They're better at running back this year than they were last year. They're better on the offensive line. They're better at tight end and better at wide receiver. They're going to be one of the top 8 offenses in the NFL this year. Yes, I will absolutely take Chicago. I'm taking Carolina. Give me Carolina.
It's actually not a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick at
all.
If you
believe in Bryce Young, then it's that simple.
It's not a bad pick. Division. Carolina is one of those teams that they could just get a little bit better. They win 9 games. They grab that 7th spot. And we're like, hey, Carolina, they played a lot better than people think. So that's how I'm going to do it. You know, I'm selling Commander stock. I think the Commanders are prime regression team. But if you were looking at the wild card, and just 11 of the last 24 teams that have been a wild card team have made it the following season, there's obviously going to be a lot of turnover that happens at the bottom of the playoff roster in the National Football League. I'm curious to hear what your teams are. 913-586-7965. We'll read some of your texts coming up on the other side, and we'll get back to talking about baseball. Jack Caglione hit his first home run last night. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone just texted this in. CDOT, so do you think that Jaden Daniels is a fluke? In year one, he was better than any season Jordan Love has put up. I'm not actually sure if that's the case. I mean, in 2023, Jordan Love completed 64% of his passes, threw for 4,000 yards, had 32 touchdowns. Like, Jordan Love was really good two seasons ago. Now, he definitely took a step back last season. I think that Jaden Daniels is good. Don't get me wrong. He had a great season last year. A phenomenal season. This is my question, though, for Washington, and we see this happen every year in the NFL. A team exceeds everybody's expectations, and they are far better than any of us think. The next year, now that we're all looking for them, I always say there's two steps you got to take in the NFL. One is to go from where Detroit and Washington used to be to where they are now. Two very good teams that have both recently played in the NFC Championship game. Now you got to take that next step. That's the hardest step, to go from being a good team to a great team and doing something that they hang flags for. I don't think Washington was as good as their record last. Maybe that's the way of putting it. These were the wins last year for Washington. Washington last season, their wins were. Now ESPN gives them that weird pop-up, you know, that they do. Let me click refresh really quickly. All right, I'm good. All right, these were the wins that they had. New York, Cincinnati, week three Cincinnati. Not week 12 Cincinnati, week three Cincinnati. Arizona, Cleveland. I mean, their first four wins are against non-playoff teams. Carolina, Chicago, New York. Rob, we're past Halloween. They didn't beat a potential playoff team. They then beat Tennessee December 1st. Their first eight wins last season are against non-playoff teams. They then beat New Orleans. They beat Philadelphia. Remember, Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts got injured, and Kenny Pickett started for them in that game. So they didn't even beat the real version of the Eagles, Atlanta, and Dallas. They got 12 bad wins last year. They got 12 bad wins. You get what? So real quick, there's 14 teams, I guess 18 teams that don't make the postseason. 11 of them the Commanders beat last season. They didn't have a lot of really good wins. What I think happens this year with Washington is, I think that now we have the expectation. I just think it could be a normal year. Jaden Daniels this season maybe doesn't take the jump that you think he does. He throws 24 touchdown passes, but has 12 interceptions this year. Throws for 30. That's still a pretty solid year, but doesn't really take that jump forward. And Washington's just fine this year. They win 8 games. They win 9 games, but they're not really one of those elite teams. That's what I think happens to the Commanders.
Here's the thing. I think you're being a little harsh with the Commanders for this reason. You are holding them the same standard as a team that makes the playoffs and then gets beat in the wild card round. You're holding them the same standard as the Broncos or the Dolphins from 2 years ago. You're kind of discounting what Washington did once they got in. When they were in the playoffs, what they started doing? Beating playoff teams. Like, that happened. The minute they made the dance, they were not one and done. They won two playoff games on the road. They went to Tampa Bay. All right, you want to discount the NFC South? Cool. They went on the road to the one seed and beat the Lions, or made the Lions end up being the two seed. I apologize.
I mean, it doesn't matter. They went in there, smoked the Lions.
They did. The Lions.
They did smoke the Lions.
I think your logic adds up if we're talking about the 2023 Dolphins, 2024 Broncos, like those teams, the 2010 Chiefs. You make it, then you lose in the first round as a superior team. The Commanders got in and did something, and that has to have a little bit of a factor here.
Yeah, this is where I disagree, and someone says, CDOT, Washington literally played for the NFC Championship. We make it seem like that hasn't been like, we make it seem like random teams don't pop up in the NFC Championship game. Let me ask you a question. Who did the Chiefs beat the first time they went to the AFC Championship game? Who did they beat? Tennessee.
Beat the Titans.
Tennessee. Yep. And Rob, the next season, what did you tell me every time we talked about Tennessee? Fluke. Fluke.
That's true.
Fluke. Look, they got Ryan Tannehill. Look, they got Derrick Henry. I don't believe in that team. Remember, We have the cut in there. Remember one of the, I think it was actually the last AFC championship game that the Patriots won with Tom Brady. Who they beat? Jacksonville with Blake Bortles.
I mean, they beat the Chiefs. That was the last
game. Okay, my bad. So the second one before.
The last one they hosted.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah. So I'm just like, we make it seem like random teams don't make it to the NFC championship game kind of frequently. It's not always Kansas City and Buffalo and Kansas City and Baltimore. Sometimes you get Philadelphia and Washington. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's what happens. Not every Final Four is Duke, Kansas, Memphis, and Gonzaga. No, sometimes you get Creighton in the Final Four and Florida Atlantic in the Final Four.
But to be fair, nothing to interrupt. I apologize for running. Sometimes that team a lot of people think, oh, they made the fluky run to the title game, turns out to be real. I mean, remember, was it 3 years ago now? The team the Chiefs played in the AFC title game was the Bengals. You would have told me at the time, hey, the Bengals were, hey, they got to play with the Raiders at home, and then they got to play on the road against the Titans. You know, Joe Burrow's good, but this feels like a fluke. This feels like a one-off. The Bengals, we now view as one of those types of teams. What's the difference between, you know, the Commanders becoming a Bengals level of thorn in the Eagles side and just the fluke fall-off that the Jags were?
Proving it again. That's all. My point with Washington is very simple. Prove it again. You didn't beat anybody last year in the regular season. The Washington season boils down to an upset on the road against Detroit. A great win, don't get me wrong. But we all kind of knew at the end of the season that the Lions were kind of leaking oil a little bit. I just went through their schedule. Their first 9 wins of last season were against non-playoff teams. They didn't beat anybody. They didn't beat anybody. Everybody's 11 and 12 wins are not made equal. I know it's, oh, you can't control who you play. Well, I mean, look at who Kansas City beat sometimes on the road. Like, so when people are criticizing Kansas City, so I was like, wait, hold on. I mean, they beat Baltimore, they beat Buffalo, they beat Tampa Bay, they beat this team on the road. Like, yeah, maybe they're not blowing these teams out, but you're not really supposed to blow Baltimore, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. That's not the way that your schedule is designed. I mean, the Giants, Bengals, Cardinals, Browns, Panthers, Bears, half of the team that they beat in the first 7 games fired their coach in the middle of the season. No, I'm not buying it. Maybe I'll end up being wrong on the Commanders, and that's perfectly fine. If you're telling me that you didn't beat a playoff team until after Thanksgiving last year, I'm just not buying it this season. You regress. You regress this year. You take a step back. Schedule's a little tougher. Nobody is overlooking you this year. Everybody knows that you're a good team. Everybody's going to take you seriously this year. You go on the road and you play Green Bay week 2. I want to see what that looks like on the road, Green Bay, Thursday night football. Washington goes on the road and plays the Chargers this year. On the road and plays in Kansas City this year. They got Detroit on the schedule this year. They play Philadelphia twice. They play much better competition this year. Let's see how they hold up. I didn't see enough last year, so that's why I am with Washington. And again, maybe I'll be wrong. But I'm definitely playing the schedule game with them, 100%.
Like I said, I understand it with some teams. I feel like you're treating them like they were the cutesy Broncos or the, you know, upstart Dolphins. Look at them. They made it, and they get walloped. They made it, and then they made noise once they were in there. They showed, and their talent has improved this year, too. Like, that's what you do after a good season. You add Deebo Samuel. You add these things to improve the roster. So they have the feel of a team that could be taking that next step. But you know what? You're right. If you wait for them to prove it, that's fine. We will see how Jaden Daniels is on the field in year 2.
Yeah, they added a very overrated wide receiver, and they added the best offensive lineman from maybe the worst offensive line last year in the National Football League.
First off, Chiefs fans would have killed to add the offensive lineman that Washington added. They would come on now.
I actually don't know if the Chiefs would have done that. I actually think the Chiefs had a better improvement at left tackle than the Texans.
If the Texans were willing to trade to the Chiefs, then they would have preferred Tunsil.
I would have been very disappointed if that was the case.
Really?
I'd have been very disappointed.
You're lower on Tunsil than me. Laramie Tunsil's one of those type of left tackles. Not Trent Williams. Like, that's a freak. But he's one of those, like, Jordan Mailata type of really good left tackle.
Yeah, I kind of think that at this point it might be a little bit more name than game at this point.
That's
with
fair.
Him, and we'll just kind of see how it looks for this upcoming season. Let's get back to local. Let's talk about the Royals. Yesterday, Jack Caglione, he had a home run at Kauffman Stadium.
1-1 pitch. Caglione hits a drive out into the gap in right center field. That's in the alley and gone. Caglione's first home run at Kauffman Stadium. Kind of a sinking line drive. and it went out of the shadows around home plate and over the wall and brightly lit by the sun right center field. So now Caglione has homered at Kauffman Stadium, and he has a total of 3 home runs and puts the Royals up 1-0 here in the second inning.
No doubt Jack Caglione could feel like he could fly right now.
Let me ask you this. Maybe this is like a cynical way of looking at it, but it's just the question that I have. Do you think people are disappointed with the way that Jack Caglione's, I don't know, first handful of games have gone? He certainly came in with a lot of hype, and he hasn't lived up to that hype. I do wonder if the hype, I don't want to say was misplaced. That seems like very harsh. I just wonder if there were just a lot of unrealistic expectations that were placed on him because of how he was dominating down at the minor league level. And I do think that there was an expectation that, well, he was really good in AA. He was really good in AAA. Now that he's here, he will just continue to do those same things. I think what you are seeing is a 22-year-old that is starting to figure some things out. Like, I think yesterday could be a very positive sign for him. It's the best game that he has had at Kauffman Stadium in a month. He hit a home run. He contributed to a win. You got kind of that monkey off your back. I think yesterday was a really, really positive sign. Of all the players on this team, the player I think you should be most excited in the second half of the season is with Jack Caglione. And, I mean, we're just now coming up on 100 ABs. What does this look like when he gets to 150, when he gets to 200, 250? What does it look like when you just get more of a sample size and he starts to figure out what works and doesn't work and just get a much better understanding of things? So my stance on Jack has been very simple. Patience, patience, patience. We're talking about a 22-year-old that probably shouldn't be up here, if we're being honest. Like, he should probably be still down in the minor leagues, getting some seasoning, still getting some ABs, but he's here, so let's make the most of it. And I said this back whenever it started. I don't have a problem with you throwing your rookie quarterback into the deep end. Maybe your rookie quarterback has 8 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, but you learn trial by fire, and you got to get those reps, and you got to hope that those reps you learn from those experiences. So maybe he's not hitting the 260 with the power that you thought he was going to, but I think the very valuable experience that you're getting here with the big league club, that can only be a positive for you if you're talking about this being a lasting thing.
I don't think fans are disappointed with Cags. I think there's a couple reasons why. One is I still think that people view the hitting coach as the absolute scapegoat. We got a text yesterday, or maybe it was earlier today, after the timeline, I apologize. They said, we're talking about Cags, it's obvious that it's coaching because he was hitting a AA and hitting a AAA. So I think there is a level of, you know, invincibility Cags has among fans because they're going to place his blames elsewhere. He placed his struggles elsewhere, similar to how the whole offense, everyone blamed the hitting coach for a while. So I think that's one reason why fans are not disappointed. And two, I think Kansas City fans are good baseball fans. They realize hitting a baseball might be the most difficult thing to do in all sports. It is really, really hard to be a good Major League Baseball player. And Jack Caglione is 13 months removed from playing against insurance salesmen with a metal bat in Omaha. This move is, you know, really, really fast. The difference in facing, let's not use the Pirates pitcher as an example because that's unfair. The difference in facing a major league pitcher, even just an average one, like a Tarek Skubal, and the best, you know, college pitcher in Omaha is night and day. So I think fans are not disappointed because A, any struggles he has, they place blame elsewhere. And two, they're smart enough to know that at 22, to go from Omaha in June of 24 to, hey, Major League Club in June of 25, and the expectation is hit the ground running, that's probably too high of a level to expect. So I think that's why there's a lack of disappointment. Now, if he keeps hitting 150 and it's August and September, I think you might hear a little bit of fan frustration and sentiment about, oh, we may have made a mistake. But I think he gets an air of invincibility right now because fans understand the leap he's made and they're quick to blame everyone but him for his struggles.
I will say this now, I guess, kind of looking back, and maybe this was, I think a lot of people were selling this. I think a lot of people were selling is there's no advantages to you being in AAA. I mean, really smart baseball people. I mean, Jack Caglione was in Omaha for 2 weeks. Well, I mean, you can't get anything more from AAA. What? You can't get anything from it? I mean, J.J. Cooper said that. We had former general managers saying that. You can't get anything from playing AAA baseball. Like, in some ways, I kind of think the Royals' front office was in between a rock and a hard place. Their offense is bad, was bad, however you want to put it. Their offense was struggling. I mean, that's a better way of putting it. Their offense was struggling. Fans every day are screaming to bring this player up. Every single day are telling you this. Maybe you don't think that he is ready. But do you want to just answer the questions every single day of why he's not here? Or do you put him in there and just kind of see what happens and let him play out the rest of the season and hope that things work out? Like, I do think we kind of have to shoot the Royals this. If the Royals offense was continuing to be dead last in baseball and Jack Caglione was down in the minor leagues hitting 280 and hitting for home runs, you guys would be furious if that was the case. Even if they thought that was the best thing for his development. Even if J.J. Piccolo kept saying the entire time, he's not ready, he's not ready. We think he needs 300 ABs in the minor leagues. We will not discuss it before he gets to 300 ABs. You guys would be mad if that was the case. Now that he's up here, maybe he's up here a little bit too early after getting 47 at-bats in AAA. Now that we see maybe he wasn't fully ready to be up here, now the organization did something wrong. I do kind of think that the Royals were in between a rock and a hard place, and they kind of got their hand forced, A, by how the big league club was playing and by the way that he was playing. And now they've thrown him out there. You're giving him ABs, and you're just hoping that he can kind of figure this thing out on the fly.
And to that point, and maybe this is the figure out on the fly, I don't think the Royals can send him back down this season. You talk about that he's too good, he nothing to learn at AAA, only learn here. He might take his lumps for another 4 or 5 months, however long the baseball season is this year for the Royals. It could be October, it could be into September. I think he's going to take his lumps up here, but if you're going to bring him up, if you're going to manipulate the Super 2, if you're going to affect his clock on when you're going to pay him on the back end, and if you think on the back end he's going to be the guy you think he's going to be, you cannot send him back down to AAA. It's got to be MJ Melendez hitting under 100, doing a lot of flailing up their level of bad. I think the Royals are now to be that rock in a hard place, kind of have to keep him up for the rest of the season to see if he is going to learn at this level. Because there's no benefit in facing, you know, Bozo the Clown, the 38-year-old AAA guy down in Louisville, and pounding homers off him. That doesn't benefit anyone. He's got to be up from now until the end of the season and figure it out here.
I would love to talk to more baseball people about this, because someone asked the question, C-Dot, what's better for Jack's confidence? Is it getting sitting back down or staying at the big league level and struggling? I'm just a believer that the greats are eventually going to figure it out. I use the analogy with Kobe. For all the Mamba mentality that you guys talk about, Kobe didn't have that early on in his career. Kobe didn't play immediately out of high school. And when he got an opportunity in the postseason, he struggled. You know what Kobe was always going to do? Put the work in to figure it out. Peyton Manning threw 20 interceptions his rookie season, struggled his rookie year. You know what he did? He figured it out. So I understand confidence, and you want to keep a guy's confidence high and you do all that. I get it. But if Jack Caglione is Pete Alonso, if he is what we had people coming on here saying, that behind Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, he has the best raw power of any prospect in baseball, then I'm sorry. If they're right, if that's true, he'll figure it out. And maybe he doesn't figure it out in 2025. Maybe he figures out in 2026. Maybe he figures out in 27 at 24 years old. But if you were telling me that the traits are that strong, eventually, if that's true, they shine through. I believe that. I really do. You're 22 years old. He haven't been here a month. Jack Caglione hasn't been on the big league team for a month. Hey, keep your confidence high. Hey, you're figuring some things out. Look, you've hit the ball hard. Look, you're doing this right. Look, if we adjust these things, we're still working at it. We're still getting there. There's no reason to hang your head if you're him. Hey, think about where you were a year ago. A year ago, you were in Florida. A year ago, you were riding the bus in minor league baseball. Now you're in Yankee Stadium. Now you're in San Francisco. You're fine. You're ahead of schedule. I think that needs to be the message to him. I think that has to be the message. What's that saying from The Wire? Like, what's war? Once you in it, you in it? Like, that's where you are. Like, once you make the decision to fast track your number one prospect, there's no going back in a month. There's no going back in 85 at-bats and saying, oh, well, we were wrong. No, you weren't wrong. You better fight on that for the rest of the season. From now until the final the baseball game of the year, Jack Caglione needs to be playing for the Kansas City Royals. You cannot send him back down now at this point. And you just got to hope that through coaching, through just time, experience, more reps, you got to hope that he figures things out. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a favorite NFL player. My favorite NFL player has changed over time. For those of you that have been listening to the show for a long time, you know that there was a point that Russell Wilson was my favorite player. Now, I loved Russell Wilson coming out of college. I loved him when he was at NC State. You know those college football games, the ones that come on at 11 o'clock that Pam Ward calls on just regular ESPN. I remember watching Russell Wilson. I remember thinking, man, this guy's quarterback's actually pretty good. Kind of followed his career, kind of kept up with him. He went to Wisconsin afterwards. And I actually think that Russell Wilson should have won the Heisman Trophy his year at Wisconsin. They lost two games on a Hail Mary. Two games on a Hail Mary, back-to-back weeks. I think he was the best player in college football that year. Once he went to the Broncos, I will admit, I don't know, it just got kind of weird with Russell Wilson that I was out. That right now, I actually don't have a favorite football player. That was until I heard this clip. Now, I've already been kind of trending in this direction for quite some time, but now I think I might officially be there. I think my favorite player in the league is Kirk Cousins. I haven't seen the show Quarterback yet. I plan on watching it some this weekend, but I have not started this new season of Quarterback. I had no clue this was in there. Kirk Cousins is the best.
Kirk?
Yep.
Okay, I'm ready for you.
Let's go.
All right. My name is Catherine. I'll be doing Catherine? A great clip today.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I go to one place, and that's Great Clips, because I can just go on the app.
How you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Amazing.
I can see what the wait is. If the wait time is under 15 minutes, I just sign up. And then I can just drive there and walk right in and get right in the chair.
This is what I'm looking for.
Okay, so
just like a one, and then you fade it up.
Okay, you got it.
That sound good?
Sounds good.
Now I start just holding up a picture. I took a picture from one of the headshots from a Falcons game program, and I just say, can you do this? And that usually helps eliminate any gray area.
Everybody needs a little rush in their lives, and I get mine when I go to Great Clips to get my hair cut.
Now, I don't know if Kirk Cousins has a sponsorship deal with Great Clips. I don't know. I'm telling you right now that he should. He should. If this was purely organic and they were like, hey, we just want to see your life. We want to see what you do. And he's like, well, I get my hair cut at Great Clips. If that's the case right now, then the CEO of Great Clips needs to call him and just give him a gold card. I know this exists for Chipotle because I know someone who has it. Nick Wright has one of these cards. Chipotle sent him, it's like a black card, Rob. I don't know if you know this or not. But this card guarantees that every time Nick goes to Chipotle, he gets $20 for free. So you essentially get two burritos every time you go in there for free. They need to give this to Kirk Cousins. He needs to be the first person ever with the Great Clips gold card. You walk in there and you just want to get a haircut. You sit down in the chair. He shows the woman his Sunday night football picture so she can know what he wants his hair to look like. She cuts it. I imagine it's what, $20, $25? I don't know how much they're charging for haircuts at Great Clips. I'm telling you right now that Great Clips, their number one sponsor should be Kirk Cousins. Rob, I'll never forget this. This was like early on in my career, and at this point, I didn't have any sponsorship reads. So it was like a big deal to finally get a potential sponsor. Like someone wants, hey, we want you to tell people to come to our establishment. I remember I had a meeting. I sat down. I didn't know any much about it, but I didn't care at that point. I just wanted to put the extra money in my pocket. Rob, it was for Fantastic Sam's. And I looked at everybody in the room, and I was so confused. And I looked at them and said, I can't tell people to go to Fantastic Sam's. And the person looked so confused on why I couldn't tell people. And I was like, you know what? It's just time to go. That's what I said. It's just time for me to go. I don't think I can tell people to go to Fantastic Sam's or Great Clip. But you know who's the perfect person to do this? Kirk Cousins. Kirk, every time I learn more about your life, I seem to love it more and more. Remember in the first season of Quarterback when he was showing us his closet and his wife was telling us how she goes out and shops for his clothes and gets them at Kohl's, and now he goes on the apps to see where he can get his hair cut? You know who Kirk Cousins is? Kirk Cousins is Rob Brenton. That's who it is. Rob. I know why I like Kirk Cousins so much. It's because I like you. You and Kirk Cousins are the same individual. You're the same guy.
Kirk Cousins is every Johnson County dad. Young dad. I'm not talking like the 50 and 60 year olds. He is every 35 to 45 year old Johnson County father. He's, by the way, Kirk Cousins, I love this in the documentary. Great father. Shops at Kohl's, goes to Great Clips. I like that he's on the app for the convenience. I don't want to be in the sitting around for 15, 20 minutes. I want to sit down, walk up, get my cut, pay my $9 or whatever it is, and get out of there. Like, there is a likability to Kirk Cousins. A little part of me is sad that he's not going to be a starter this year in the league. Why didn't the Browns trade for him? Why didn't someone who is, you know, needing a quarterback trade for Kirk Cousins, having a season of him hold a clipboard behind Michael Penix while better for the Falcons is less fun for us because I want him screaming, you like that. I want him telling stories about being at Great Clips. I don't want him holding a clipboard and being on a headset. That's no fun for us.
I do know this. I don't think this needs to be a full-on documentary. Like, I'm not that interested in the subject, but I would be very, very intrigued at an E60 at the various ways that NFL players handle this. Like, do you know the story about LeBron? So LeBron, when he left Cleveland to go to Miami, he was looking for somebody to cut his hair. I think Dwayne Wade or somebody, however the story goes, he then ends up going to this barber. He ends up kind of building a rapport with the barber. When he then goes back to Cleveland, he then moved this guy from Miami to Cleveland, paid for his shop, all of that. The only rule is that LeBron is first in line and any teammate is first in line. That guy now lives with him in Los Angeles as well because obviously he moved. So if you've ever seen that TV show, The Shop, you know, The Shop when he used to do this in the barbershop, that guy that's cutting LeBron's hair is his actual barber. That's the guy from the story I'm telling you about. So think about the way I just told you that LeBron handles haircuts for somebody who doesn't really have a lot of hair and how Kirk Cousins is doing it. Kirk Cousins goes on the Great Clips app. Kirk Cousins has made $400 million in his NFL career. $400 million. He has the Great Clips app on his phone. Uses the app. Doesn't call in. Uses the app. Walks into the barbershop, sits down in the chair, shows the woman a picture, gets a haircut, and leaves. Kirk Cousins is a hero. I'm telling you. We need an E60 on stories like Kirk Cousins on how they get their haircut. I'd watch that E60.
Remember the story? It was during COVID, and that Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if it's Patrick Mahomes' barber or the barber the team brought in before ahead of the COVID Super Bowl supposedly may have had the vid because one of the linemen or backup quarterbacks got it. Like, I feel like if we had a whole E60 expose about barbers and how NFL, NBA, and, you know, players handle their hair, you'd be stunned as a person to think how much they care about these things and how much money, outside of Kirk Cousins apparently, they are spending on their hair. Like, we don't even use the top of the line. Bobby Witt has a notable haircut. Eric Hosmer in town had a notable haircut. How much money do you think they are spending to find the guy or girl to cut their hair that way every single time. I bet it would stun people to find out the number.
I actually don't think it's, I actually know Mahomes barber. It's probably a lot less than you think. Now, I'm just
He might travel with him and I don't know about that. That adds the cost. I'm talking about those costs.
No,
too.
Mahomes just has a standing appointment every day at this time. I come in there. It is just known. You cut my hair. Yeah, no, the Mahomes haircut situation. It's a little, how much is a haircut at Great Clips, you think? Like, I've never been in there before. I don't know anything about Great Clips.
I guess right $9, now, you, I was wrong.
Right now, you could be right, you could be wrong. I don't know. Like, tomorrow, if you're like, hey, you know what? I really need a haircut. I want to go to Great Clips. Do you think, number one, do you think Great Clips could cut my hair?
Well, or like, just
tomorrow,
do it.
Tomorrow, if I just go in there and I'm like, man, my barber's a little bit sick right now. I need Great Clips to give me a haircut. Because I'm looking right now on the Great Clips website, and none of these people look like me. Or have hair very similar to my hair.
I think they could. I don't think you'd be happy with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I'm looking at the picture of the woman that's cutting Kirk Cousins' hair. I don't know if she could line me up. I don't know if she could get me to taper. I'm not 100% certain if she could. She didn't look like she had that hair care ability. I'm sure she has great hair care ability. But, Rob, my hair and your hair,
not the same.
Very different kind of hairs.
I think they could literally cut it. I think you would not be out of the store before you realized I've made a terrible,
terrible
error.
Decision. All right, how much is it for a haircut at Great Clips? Right now, I'm looking at one. They have an estimated wait time of 0 minutes. So if you want to go to this one, the Mill Street Station, you can go in there right now and just get you a haircut. There's no one in the chair right now.
I mean, it's 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. That's not too surprising to me.
It's prime time to go in there and get a cut. Why do I got to click so much to figure out how much a haircut is? Why do I got to figure out so much? I'm about to give up. I don't even know how much it is. Oh, here we go. Here we go, Rob. I figured it out. At this location, it's $20 for a cut.
Oh, there you go. It's a little north, what I guess.
That's half of what my haircut cost me.
It is half of what
my haircut is. For a kid, it's $10, or it's $18 for a kid. That's, you only get a $2 discount for your 11-year-old?
I mean,
a $2 discount?
What are they defining kid as? I'm taking a 4-year-old in there, just shave it all off.
10 and under. 10 and under is an $18
cut. Horrible discount.
Terrible discount.
What a bad deal.
You can get a neck trim, beard trim, a bang trim, and a shampoo for $10 if you want to go stop by Great Clips. I learned a lot today. I didn't know this information before we started this, but now I know how much a haircut costs at Great Clips. Coming up on the other side, I give the umpires and officials a little bit of love. I'll explain. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.